Hey, everybody. It's Stunt Granny Audio, some number. I don't remember because I didn't look it up. This is Jeremy. With me today is Mr. Kevin DeFrango. Hello, Kevin DeFrango.
What's going on? Boy, considering that Dusty and Eric have a name, you and Eric have a name, Eric and I have a name, I think at some juncture we're going to have to come up with a name for our tandem.
Yeah, it's the show that's not supposed to happen edition. Every complication possible. Say, I don't understand
this show. The show that both of us agree on way too much shit and
yeah.
Step all over everyone's point, depending upon who gets to talk first.
Yeah, well, there's that. Yeah, there's that too. So, oh my God, man, I can't believe if I hit redial. That the goddamn thing went to, what was it called? A Spanish lady. I don't understand. I'm new to Verizon, so maybe this is a problem with them, you know, their network. So, well, anyways.
Yeah. I quite haven't had that problem yet, but it's certainly not making me anticipate buying a new phone. That's for sure.
No, I'm not. I just got a new phone. The only thing that changes the network, so that's good. I'm already annoyed that we just started and we got some total horseshit to talk about. So I can't remember what were we going to lead off with. We talked about this earlier.
Oh well, I say we could name our program the All Kent State Edition and start off with our boy. Capturing the Intercontinental, it doesn't really mean a whole lot, title belt on SmackDown.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, in case you don't follow the show or don't know what we're talking about, Dolph Ziggler is a former, or Nick Nemeth, excuse me, same thing, is a former Kent State grad where Kevin and I both went to school, and he won the Intercontinental Championship on Friday. I'm sorry, Friday's edition of SmackDown. So, it's only, what, a year too late, really, for it to have any sort of impact whatsoever?
And not just that, yeah. Yeah, because what, Morrison's probably, and I guess that's how I'm going to relate to it, Morrison's probably been kind of out of it for, what, 4 to 6 months?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what, Mysterio, I mean, it was when Mysterio's injury happened that they had a chance to have him beat Rey Mysterio. And unfortunately, they decided to dick around for, approximately a year. And finally put the belt on him when SmackDown has become... definitely the B show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. SmackDown's definitely treated as if there's absolutely nothing important on the show now. I mean, with Nexus being on Raw, NXT, you know, they push the NXT thing more than they do SmackDown. Really. Well, all right.
Yeah.
We'll get back to Dolph Ziggler in a second. But I'm glad you mentioned this actually. But no, you're exactly right with the entire SmackDown thing. And really, to me, isn't it October or even possibly earlier September that SmackDown moved to 5/5? So, to me, it just seems like they're just putting that show into a holding pattern for right now, and then they're going to ramp it back up once it, you know, for the big debut on Sci-Fi coming up in a couple months, or depending on what day it is, or what month it is, next month. It's just a theory I've been trying to bounce around in my head. It doesn't make any sense, but it's like kind of like Vince and company going, well, fuck my network TV. Who cares? I mean, what we do for them. That really, my network TV exists to carry SmackDown and your local CW or whatever news. So,
well, you know. I mean, they're doing enough, but even just before, I definitely made the argument that it was the best show on TV, but... even with the new guy, well, A, I think one thing that has helped Raw out with the whole Nexus angle is that they have gotten significantly younger. And someone who may or may not be brought up later, Triple H, hasn't been there for the last couple of months, which has helped out. And honestly, ever since WrestleMania, there's been no Shawn Michaels. So that show has gotten significantly more interesting. Well, the push of Evan Bourne probably didn't hurt. Things like that. So I think Raw got interesting on its own. Like almost all the new guys and all the guys that you know had some sort of interest were all on SmackDown there. Like, I still like what CM Punk's doing, but there are also some issues that that we were going to bring up at some juncture, too. So, like, everything is kind of, I mean, you said in a holding pattern, like, with The Undertaker not coming back for his angle quite yet, it is. It's just like everybody's waiting for The Undertaker to come back, and well, if they're changing networks, what better time would it be to reveal who actually took out The Undertaker than when they change networks?
No, you nailed it. I think that's a definite thing that's going to happen. It's not going to be – I know we were going to sort of talk about Rey Mysterio-Kane, but they, I mean, as dull as that seems, we talked about this weeks or months ago when Taker first got hurt. There's no big name out there to make all the speculation justified. Like, who did this to The Undertaker? I mean, it's not going to be Ray because they're not about to turn him heel. Just from, there's no big baby faces on SmackDown, so you can't do it.
Yeah, and none of the heels. Punk, the only heel really that has the credibility to go up against The Undertaker, has already done it already.
Right. Well, it was, yes, you're right, but it was also at the same time, it was kind of an aborted sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was at that time where they weren't sure what's going on with Punk, like what they want him to be, what they want to do with him, that sort of thing. Now I think they could give it, they could give it more credence, give the feud, you know, some legs, but I don't think Taker's going to come back, and especially you don't want to position CM Punk in that position to have Undertaker come back because he's going to squash whoever he goes against. So you don't want to take arguably your number one heel and just destroy him right off the bat.
Yeah, in the meantime, you can have Kane going around beating people up, taking advantage of the Money in the Bank, and have at least a semi-substantial title reign prior to him getting his ass handed to him and reverting back to the main event jobber that that we all know and love him as.
I think the sorry state of SmackDown is shown in the fact that Kane's a champion. And I know there was like that I read and we talked about some people. Like, it's a nice nostalgia trip for Kane to get another championship run. Like, whatever. Kane's not selling tickets anymore. I think at one point he was. So,
right.
And I think it also speaks volumes that Chris Jericho and Edge, I think it was Miz on SmackDown, immediately everybody moved to Raw. And you were thinking, all right, there's going to be some sort of balance here. They moved Christian over there, but okay.
Yeah,
nothing happened there.
Nope. No one, and I guess you could even round this back into the whole Dolph Ziggler thing. They didn't really elevate anybody early enough. Like, if this was their plan all along to completely hose SmackDown, they could have at least set someone up like him or somebody else. Well, actually, they needed to set up a couple of people.
they got into a holding pattern for sure.
Yeah, it at least would have helped to make things a little more interesting and make some type of hierarchy on that show.
Because they really
don't have much, and wow, did they get fucked when CM Punk got injured.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes, and they had the whole thing with him and Rey Mysterio, the hair thing, and that was fun. That was a nice angle. It was fun. I mean, that's, those hair angles are always just kind of, and I know it doesn't really mean much of anything nowadays, but it's still just a fun angle to watch, because you're like, well, I mean, especially for, I almost like common fans, that sounds so dickish, but I think you know what I'm getting at, that are like, oh my God, you know, CM Punk may actually take Rey Mysterio's mask, that sort of thing.
Right.
But they blew that right away. I don't know. It just seemed that draft was WWE's way of saying, fuck my TV network. We're going to make sure Raw is packed out until we move it. And I think going to your point, when you were talking about different wrestlers, they did not take an opportunity to build anybody up. They moved Kofi Kingston over. And did he feud with Drew McIntyre for a few weeks? And that's how he won the Intercontinental belt, right?
Yes.
I remember that?
Yep.
But then Drew was feuding with Fat Hardy, so.
Yeah. And that was the other problem, is you have two of the guys that arguably you should be pushing, and Kofi and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I wouldn't really argue for McIntyre, but whatever.
Well, no, I know you don't want to, but that's the case. He's got everything that they want, so.
Yeah, but they really needed to put them in separate feuds to still make both of them look good.
Yeah.
Rather than slowing down McIntyre's momentum, as they so love to do. Again, just kind of more because of the situation that they were putting themselves in, rather than anything I feel that is even remotely deserved.
Yeah. Well, I think if SmackDown, all right, trying to get back to Dolph here. He was one of the guys that a year ago, remember when it was when Mysterio got suspended? He had that feud. It seemed natural. Ziggler was going to be Mysterio. Mysterio was going to put him over hard, and that was going to be, you know, Dolph finally able to be pushed up. Instead, they aborted it and went with John Morrison winning the belt, clean out of the blue. And it was like, oh, okay, so they're going to feud these two. And they never feuded Morrison and Dolph Ziggler. And you're just left holding your head like, well, what the fuck is going on around here?
Yeah, well, I think he lost a match or two to Morrison.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
But they did not really have a feud, so.
Yeah. I mean, they had the proverbial was a cup of coffee, and then that was it. Nothing else happened after that. And then he kind of got put on the back burner until they brought up this Vicky Guerrero thing.
Yeah, he definitely got his cool down, so I don't know, maybe this is his push back up the scale here, who knows, like, I keep on saying, I don't understand why they put him in these long matches, week in and week out, like, consistently on SmackDown, he's almost always in the longest match, it's like, they've got to have faith in this guy, right, he just doesn't get a shit ton of mic time, really, which is one of the stranger things. How fuck! I can't believe I've already forgotten that Jack Swagger existed on that program.
Yeah, and he's another guy that they, you know, took the title reign back, and they just kind of had him floating. And Eric asked me the question today. He's like, "What is Swagger doing for SummerSlam?" Nothing. He doesn't have a match. I mean, the same goes for The Miz. So, you know. And I this is almost going to lead into Raw talk, but
yeah. Hey, we've been here, there, and everywhere already. I'm putting a nice little pretty bow on SmackDown without even mainly talking about the points that we were going to.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean it's unfortunate because Dolph Ziggler winning could have meant something. It would mean more to internet fans. I'm just going to start separating it like that. It'd be more to internet fans than it would to the casual fans, the kids, I guess. Because you're seeing a guy that's finally getting the push after all these years that should have come already. So it's kind of like, okay, now they're going to finally start making somebody else finally. You know, they've pushed Kofi. They pulled him back, pushed him. Now they've pulled, they pulled Dolph.
McIntyre.
Right.
Did the same
and McIntyre, I think, Yeah, McIntyre, I think, more has to do with that no one cares about him. And that's not even in a dickish way. When he comes out, no one cares. There's no booing.
Yeah.
It's just a hands-on, you know, hands-on-your-ass sort of thing. He couldn't oh, I almost
yeah.
did it. He feuded with Matt Hardy, and the only reason that it mattered was because it was Matt Hardy. It had nothing to do with Drew. And it could
yeah.
have been Mo from Men on a Mission fighting Matt Hardy, and people would have been behind him. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just can't figure him out. Like, at some point, like, at first, I can think of three examples for me recently that I said to myself, oh, I don't see what the WWE sees in him. One of them was Jack Swagger. I'm like, I don't know. I don't quite get it here at first. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, after a couple of months, I'm like, okay, I get it. Sheamus, it was kind of like, oh, come on. It's, you know, it was almost the Triple H buddy excuse, and then it was also the,
yeah.
wow, this is happening way too quickly thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but ever since, he's justified it. He's been good on the mic. He's been good in the ring. It's just like, well, you got to kind of shut up, you know, when they keep on delivering or at least not doing poorly. It's kind of like, well, you know what? They proved me wrong. And then The Miz is
yeah.
definitely another one. That was more of a
oh, yeah.
long-term project rather
mm-hmm.
than the other two examples who turned my opinion fairly quickly. So, fuck, what they had to do. Oh, yeah, McIntyre. I don't know. He hasn't done anything to change my opinion, no matter how much they've shoved him down my throat and no matter how many times they've put him on mic. It's just like, whatever. He kind of just has a bland kind of look to him. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
You know, as much as you can make fun of Sheamus's skin, you can't really miss the red hair and the white skin. I mean, it's
right,
something that
out.
Makes him
yeah.
different.
Well, my thing is, Drew McIntyre reminds me of, like, the head boss. Like, he reminds me of the guy in Roadhouse that gets his throat ripped out. He's, like, the pretty boy badass guy, but you just... But you had more emotional investment in that guy from Roadhouse, you know?
Yeah.
Which I'm looking up his name now. I need to get off dog pictures because I'm cracking myself up. dude, you've been to I Have the Hot Dog, right?
Huh?
It's just pictures. It's different pictures of dogs, and, like, they put, like, dog speak on it.
Is it like that LOL cat?
Yes, yeah, it's the sister companion to it. Yeah, it's just
okay.
Call it whatever. I entertain myself. I don't know what that guy's name is. So.
Okay, I don't give a shit. Everybody should, if they have not seen Roadhouse, go and watch it just for shits and giggles. So
yeah, but
grab a couple
oh, yeah.
of six packs and enjoy.
Hell, you don't need six packs to enjoy that movie. So, all right. So, anyways, kind of going with your point of new stars, like you mentioned The Miz, and this goes, and then we should get slowly going to Raw before the show falls apart. Raw this week, Raw this week was not incredibly good, but boy oh boy, was that a good show this week. It was concise, it stuck to the point. There wasn't a whole lot of complaining other than the Divas, but that's just dead horse. And then Santino and Kozlov, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing that really stood out to me was Sheamus Orton was good, and then the heat of that crowd was amazing. For a Raw that didn't center around Steve Austin or The Rock, that was probably one of the best crowds I've seen in years. For a Raw, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I did not really pay attention to the crowd as much as you did. When you mentioned it to me on IMT, I'm like, oh, really? Like,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think they were bad, obviously. I didn't think they were in fucking Anaheim or anything, but, you
or
know,
Cleveland.
or Cleveland. So, you know, I didn't really think anything bad of it, but I didn't think anything good of it either. When you said that, I was like, oh, maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Maybe it's because I was half asleep when I was watching most of Raw. So,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That crowd was into everything that was going on that show. everybody got a loud reaction, and there were two times, and I honestly think the second time was done by production, dictation. But when the crowd was stomping their hands and feet, and it kind of took the camera to begin the show, and then at the end with that face-off between Nexus and then the combined, Chris Jericho team WWE finally.
Right.
That was the most heat I've seen on a Raw in ages. I mean, those people were legitimately going crazy. And then when they finally started fighting, it sounded like it was like the most shocking thing in the world happened. So, I don't know. I was just totally, totally shocked. Just how good that crowd was. And I think that really helped bump up, if you want to put ratings or something like that on there,
I don't know if it helped the ratings, but it definitely helped that they had two storylines that they really wanted to get over, and they beat them into the ground quite
mm-hmm.
well. Like, it was the Team WWE versus Team Nexus and the main event match there with Orton and Sheamus. And just kind of pounding away. I guess we already kind of referenced it with not that many people being on the card for SummerSlam, really. When you have a 14-person elimination-style match,
yeah,
you're going to kind of limit the number of matches that you're going to have on any card.
Yeah. But it's still weird, though, with all those people in that match. The Miz doesn't have a match. And then, and my whole thing was, I know they couldn't leave off Chris Jericho and Edge. There's no way they're not going to have him on the pay-per-view. But my thought was, well, why not have some of the SmackDown guys step up and go, you know what? If these guys take over Raw, then they got a good chance they're going to come to SmackDown next. Just something like that. But then I started thinking, well, who the hell on SmackDown could do that?
Mysterio.
No, he's got a match with Kane.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the SmackDown main event, pal.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that one.
Yeah, whatever. Dolph Ziggler doesn't have a match. You could put him in there. Christian doesn't have one. I'm pretty sure Drew McIntyre doesn't have one.
No.
Going over this real quick. Matt Hardy. MVP. Shad.
Shad hasn't been on TV in months.
Yeah.
Hell, at least JTG is getting the obligatory, hey, we're going to throw you into match either on A, Superstars, or B, the Schmoz match.
Yeah.
On SmackDown.
Well, Shad, I think, is filming a movie or something. Or he's in a movie, I believe.
Oh,
that
okay.
may be why. I think.
I think I put that question to Eric a couple of weeks ago, and he was not completely sure, so.
Yeah. But, but no, I thought that would have been a decent idea, but, whatever. They did what they did, and that's fine. It was kind of stupid, kind of out of character, but, and then, they set up the mystery of the seventh guy, which is probably going to be Miz anyways.
And I guess that was the one thing that they did do, is they at least started to tie some of the guys that weren't in the match, but were the bigger names, at least. They were kind of tying them into the storyline.
Yeah.
Because they at least did get the Miz in there. It at least lets Mark Henry pop his head out, and even if, thank God, you don't want the Great Khali in the match, at least gets his mug on the TV for a little bit, so you think, he's just going to kick everyone from Nexus's ass when he, is in a one-on-one situation.
Well, Khali is one of those guys that needs to be cut, and I'm sure Dusty's going to scream at me when he listens to this, but there's no need for him anymore. He's just kind of embarrassing, so. But, there's no point to him. They've ruined him by making him a giant goof. So.
Yeah.
But, well, I'm trying to think. Now, the thing that really stood out to me also was how well Sheamus handled himself. Yeah, Eric was happy that he worked in the word art into a promo, which to me, I was kind of shocked being PG that they allowed it. And I'm far from prudish, but I was like, wait a minute, this is a PG show, how they, then I was like, ah, who cares? but no, he's one of those guys, and it kind of goes with the Dolph Ziggler point, to where if they consistently get on somebody to see what results they're given, and Sheamus has done nothing to disprove people from the push he's getting at all. So, and he really displayed that on Monday. He stood toe-to-toe. Again, the crowd was dying for those two to fight each other.
Yeah, and then he gives the little finger wag, and he backs himself out of the ring.
Yep. And he should not have come back in. I think if there's a complaint with the show besides Bret Hart, they shouldn't have, if they wanted Nexus and Team WWE, you know, if they want to have them fight, that's fine. Go ahead. Because everyone, Nexus has been getting into little things here and there, you know, and then finally, you know, they finally get some sort of action with them. But they've never had, like, just Orton and Sheamus just go toe-to-toe finally. And I know they've had matches in the past, but it was just one of those builds, and it just made sense to me to not have them touch each other and just go, nope. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be the main match on SummerSlam. So I, that's a good enough reason to me to not have them go at it.
Yeah. I'm not a big proponent of guys fighting each other on TV before a pay-per-view. I mean,
right.
I don't book TNA. That doesn't make sense to me. So, I don't know. I just, after this show on Monday, I mean, I kind of wanted to get SummerSlam anyways, but after the show Monday, it actually brought out, like, the fan in me a little bit and said, you know, this pay-per-view could be really good, which, as you know, means it's going to suck. So,
yes,
we've explained that theory before, right?
The DeFranco Mays corollary, if for those who might be listening for the first time, is the fact that if a pay-per-view looks good on paper, it's going to suck when you actually end up watching it. Yet, if it looks like it sucks on paper, it's probably going to end up as a good pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think – it's been the opposite once or twice. But everything else, it's just come to fruition. And this only applies to WWE pay-per-views. So.
Oh, yeah, please do not apply this to anything TNA does.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other things that happened on Raw. I mentioned Bret Hart, and this needs to be the last time. It was embarrassingly, not embarrassing, but it was just, I felt bad for him. Because he was out there trying, and he did those awkward pauses again because he's losing his train of thought. And Jericho had to stand there like a dummy for like 15, 20 seconds while Bret Hart was like, oh yeah. And it kept going on and on. Like, and you know, to them, it was like, oh my God, the whole world's crashing down here. This isn't going to work. This isn't good. You know, that sort of thing.
Right, yeah.
Isn't it time for, I mean, this needs to be the last appearance for Hart, doesn't it?
It makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, they made it more than obvious in the tag match that it was like, okay, I'm not tagging in Bret Hart because he can't do anything.
Yeah.
And in the match at WrestleMania, like, even if you're not terribly observant, you had to have realized that Bret Hart did not do a whole lot in that match. Like,
right.
Every time he's been involved in a match, he has not done a terribly large amount of work.
Right.
Having him take on these young guys that, if nothing else, should be able to run circles around them, just is really bizarre to me.
Yeah. Well, don't you also think it was kind of telling his physical condition. When he ran to the back and his niece had to make sure he didn't fall over. I mean, I remember doing that with my grandfather, but he was 82. I mean, I don't know, man. I just thought this isn't something they should be showing on TV.
Yeah, well,
just
and the
let
other,
him get to the back.
The other thing that's just kind of sad is that, you know, shouldn't they have somebody that they don't need to rely on this guy? Like, you know, he came back, he got the apologies, he got to beat the hell out of Vince. Like, there really isn't anything more for him to do. Like, the GM role, you know, is fine because it was in a non-active capacity kind of a deal. But having him, like, just in another match again, just in general, is just weird. Like, it tells you, oh, hey, look, we don't have any stars to fill in here.
Yeah. But doesn't...
At least to me, that might not be something that other people would think about, yeah. But it's just like, come on.
Yeah, and doesn't he run the risk of turning into, like, Ric Flair? Well, Hogan's done a decent job of it because he's a much better showman than Hart was. But doesn't it just reek of someone hanging on too long for no reason? And I know, and you, I mean, you've heard it too, about how being in front of that crowd again is addictive, blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't mean you need to be out there. I guess
yeah.
That's my thing, and I guess this will start the slow transition into the destruction of the show. I've had my fill of old wrestlers. And I don't know. I mean, nostalgia's fine, but Bret Hart being out there doesn't cut it. And it's starting, to me, it's starting to tarnish him. It's like, I don't want to remember Bret Hart as the graying, like, doddering old guy. And that's what's happening now. Because I was a huge Bret Hart fan.
Yeah, well, and I think you kind of hit more of the nail on the head when you said he wasn't as much of a showman as Hogan. Hogan
mm-hmm.
can get away with his type of match, even in a fairly limited capacity.
Yeah.
Bret Hart cannot.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know that it wasn't a high-impact, high, you know, flying kind of a deal, but when you can't really function as smoothly as you did once, then, yeah, that whole excellence of execution kind of goes out the window, and you just become maybe okay at execution. And
yeah.
That is not going to help out, and, you know, not being able to ham up the crowd nearly as much as Hogan is not going to help you out at all. Like, it's just going to make that gap even worse.
Yeah. And to me, Bret Hart wrestled, which is the difference. He wrestled, moved around, and Hogan, you know, he did his thing. He made his opponents, you know, make them look like they're world beaters and all that. It just, I don't know. I guess it's the fatigue of seeing old wrestlers come back, and just tarnish what they used to do. I mean, and this goes right into that colossal
yeah.
failure of a pay-per-view Sunday. I didn't know. You said you didn't see it. You read enough about it. You saw pretty much everything I'm going to touch on.
Yeah.
It was sad. There was nothing. I mean, they tried pawning it off as a celebration. And, you know, it's one last go-around. It's kind of like going to, well, my grandfather used to take me to the VFW hall. It was just the old guys talking about the good old days when it was all things they couldn't do anymore. It was just
yeah.
memories. They relied on your memory to go, oh, my God, these guys, this guy used to be good. But then you kept getting slapped in the face with, these guys fucking suck now. They're old. They're really fat. They're missing hair. To me, and this goes back to the tarnish thing, this tarnished everything about ECW for me. And it felt like a show instead of an actual, like, wrestling pay-per-view program angle, whatever you want to call it. It was everybody just going, busting out the old costumes and going, hey, I'm still the same guy. No, you're not. You work at fucking Olive Garden. Or you do something else, or you do something else now.
Not only does he work at Olive Garden, he can't even use the name that that he went by.
Yeah, which was a huge, Nightspeed, by the way, but it was a huge problem. You had Cojones, which was Balls Mahoney, PJ Polanco?
Yeah.
Is that right? Who fucking cares? Incredible.
That's exactly what it was.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I was mixing Placido Polanco and PJ Polanco. So, Tony Luke instead of Tony Mamaluke, the Blue Tilly instead of the Blue Meanie, because apparently they could get Blue Meanie on tape saying, hey, thanks for doing the show, but I'm the Blue Meanie, I have so much else I have to do, I can't get to Orlando. So they had a fake guy playing him.
Yeah, that's beyond pathetic.
Don't have him.
Yeah, seriously.
I always try to think of these correlations at the last second instead of actually preparing, but I don't know. It'd be like watching your favorite character on TV, and you know he wasn't returning for that season, so instead they were like, well, he's not coming back, so we're going to get this person to play, but we're going to change their name just slightly, but it's the exact same thing still. It'd be like, for a cartoon, but Peter Griffin going away, and they replace him with, I don't know, what's another name? Oh, Paul Griffin. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, as the show kept going, I was like, I just feel bad for these guys. That there's nothing else out there for them. That they were like, hell yeah, I'll come back. I mean, obviously taking away, you know, guys like Lance Storm, who said no. Gary Wolf, who looks like Kenny Powers now. He had something better to do, which was apparently drive around in his car with his dog. He said he had prior commitments, and they just showed him driving off. Okay, sure. The only bright spot of this show was Francine, because she had a kid. She had her hair cut short, so it wasn't all stringy. She had weight on her. She looked great. She looked like a normal person, which I guess isn't good in wrestling. But that was the only highlight for me.
It did not sound like it had a whole lot of highlights to it at all.
RVD Sabu was better than expected because of all the horror stories you heard about Sabu being broken down.
Right.
Raven Tommy Dreamer was an absolute disaster, which I guess kind of gives it a passing mark, sort of. But no, the rest just seemed, like, Team 3D came out with Joel Gertner, who I'd totally forgotten about. They couldn't call themselves the Dudleys, which, you know, they've been Team 3D for, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah.
But it seemed so glaring. Because it was like, he always said, the Dudley Boys, or, you know, whatever, Devon or Bubba Ray.
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't do it. And he teased it like, I'm going to say it anyways. And he said Team 3D. And I was like, wow, it really brings out the suck in that name, too.
Yeah, well, they added, you know, everybody except for, Big Dick and Sign Guy.
Yeah, and Dancing with Dudleys. And Big Dick Dudley's dead, I believe.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, okay, yeah. Did I totally just step on a joke and I missed it?
No, not really.
Okay.
I was thinking Sign Guy Dudley was dead, too. And I think that's why I grouped those two together. I might be wrong on that one. Cause I remember,
well, they're dead in the hearts of all wrestling fans.
Yeah. I remember way too many, heart jokes or one-eye jokes when Big Dick Dudley died.
Yeah. No, The problem besides all this, besides the obvious, if you saw the pay-per-view, you know exactly what I'm getting at. The problem is at the end, Tommy Dreamer and the rest of them come out and they're all happy with themselves, and Tommy Dreamer booked the entire thing. Comes out and he's like, TNA, we set the bar, we expect you to raise it higher. And it's like, that bar can be stepped over with little to no effort. Raising the bar on TNA is like picking up a piece of dust. It doesn't matter. It's absolutely useless.
Yeah, well, and they did not exactly sound like they had any, even if RVD Sabu was better than expected. And I'm trying to think if there's, what did I call the PJ Polacco, whoever the fuck he fought match? Oh, Stevie Richards.
Yeah.
I called it passable, like after reading it,
yes.
A couple of different places. Like when your two best matches are better than expected and passable, it's not good news. Like I don't need to see Team 3D wrestle to know that it was just an awful match. And considering that they were in a street fight with whoever the fuck it was.
Balls and Axel Rotten.
Yeah. Just like, well, whatever. Same old crap, I don't really care. And even if my favorite black man ever, New Jack, came out at the end, it really does not make it any better.
Yeah. And New Jack looked good. I know that's going to sound stupid, but he had lost weight. But it was clearly and just the most ridiculous thing ever on a wrestling show, other than Jake Roberts pretending that Damien was his dick, was the gangsters coming out, beating up everybody with, weapons, and then all of a sudden they just start hugging.
Yeah.
Like, what? My jaw just dropped. I was like, did I totally miss something here? I mean, and I wish I had could have rewound it, but what I was watching, I couldn't. That was one of those jaw-dropping moments where you're like, this has got to be the most ridiculous thing ever put on. And I put that up there with Triple H fucking a mannequin.
Yeah, no, they were not the type to hug. And if nothing else, if you're going to give yourself a blowjob afterwards for booking your own event, why not wait for the end of the show to do all that stuff?
I thought you were going to say don't come in your own mouth, but yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. So.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You shouldn't, but I thought that went without saying.
Well, now in the world of TNA, they'd be like, oh, my God, this feels awesome. Whoa, what? Oh, yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen. Oh, Jesus. But it just goes with TNA and how out of touch they are. And Dixie Carter got in the ring and, Bubba Ray, or Brother Ray, whatever, picked her up and was parading her around like he just caught her off the side of a fishing boat. And she's all happy and... There was One Night Stand, and then there was One Night Stand Part 2. One Night Stand Part 2 shouldn't have happened. This TNA pay-per-view shouldn't have happened. The AECW got a fine send-off with the first One Night Stand. And, they got in McMahon's head and said, hey, we need to bring this back. And then McMahon realized, oh, my God, I got to put up with all these guys. No, thank you. And rightfully killed it and made it his own. I mean, it's a business decision. It's not... You can say he pissed on the legacy, whatever, but it wasn't like he had Sandman out there, dancing around like Justin Gabriel. No, not Justin Gabriel. DJ Gabriel.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. To me, to say that McMahon pissed on ECW's legacy and then to turn around and say that TNA's Hardcore Justice pay-per-view was a fitting send-off, you're a fucking tool. You're an absolute tool to think that is correct by any stretch of the imagination. Just absolutely ridiculous. And you're a stupid, stupid person. So.
Yeah, and well, and I mean, they landed about the same amount of people, honestly, for both of them. Because wasn't Marmaluke in the one of them for the WWE? So was Little Guido. Dreamer was there.
Yeah.
Ball,
well,
Sandman.
Well, they didn't have. Well, Mike Awesome can't show up. Tajiri wasn't. Tajiri wasn't there. Super Crazy wasn't there. Blue Meanie. Yeah, they couldn't get Blue Meanie to TNA. That should tell you something. The Blue Meanie has nothing going on. Nothing going on. But yet he's too busy to show up for the pay-per-view. That should tell you something right there. It's not like he had independent bookings to go to. That's bullshit. I don't know why I'm so worked up about this, but...
Hey,
I guess
just
it goes back
to go. It's an easy job for me.
Yeah. No, it speaks to how ridiculous TNA is. And I'm actually moving away from ECW now and just getting into how dumb they are. And Eric ruined it already, but they actually stripped Rob Van Dam of the title. They took it off of a perfectly capable person in AJ Styles to give it to Rob Van Dam. So then at the end of, what the hell is it called, the whole effing show that's coming up?
Mm-hmm.
They have all the EV2 guys show up because RVD beats Abyss in a Stairway to Janus match. Then the lights go out and Fortune beats them up, beats down everybody, and they beat up RVD. Now, remember, Fortune is the group that has been together for months because it's AJ Styles, Kazarian, Beer Money. But then when Ric Flair says, well, I'm going to put a group together, I'm going to scout the guys. Motherfucker, you already have all four guys. They're already in the group. Just say, we're Fortune, and be done with it. Instead, they pull out this long, drawn-out angle where Ric Flair's like, all right, the first guy in is Kazarian or AJ. It doesn't matter who's first. Because they're already in the goddamn group. It'd be like us going, all right, we're gonna put a website together, call it Stunt Granny, and we're going to reveal who the four guys are. And week one, Dusty Giebink. Week two, Jeremy Mays. And you're like, wait, I know who the last two are. And so the next week, Beer Money. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Quit wasting TV time. You already have a group. And the fact that they're doing, and it didn't even occur to me, they're called Fortune, and they hold up four, like the four horsemen, makes me sick. It's yet again another WCW retread they're doing. There's no originality whatsoever in this fucking company. And they actually have, and Frankie, or what the hell is his first name? It's Frankie, right? Kazarian?
Yeah.
Frankie Kazarian actually has the nerve 2 weeks ago, and I failed to mention this. 2 weeks ago, he goes, we're not some group of pissed off rookies. We're the real deal. Fortune draws ratings. No, you fucking don't. The seven angry rookies are the guys that bumped up Raw's ratings. So again, maybe that was a shoot on Kazarian's part, and if it is, he shows how dumb he is too. TNA's ratings don't go up. They go up for a week, they go back down two steps. Take two steps forward, three steps back. You know, because opposites attract. That's a Paul Abdul joke. But...
Yep.
And then AJ Styles renames the global title a TV title. Why does he get to say it's a TV title? Why is it now the TV title? Because a wrestler said so. I'm not disagreeing that it should be a TV title, but that should be the only fucking title they actually, you know, contest on TV ever. Or the TV title is ridiculous. It's redundant.
That and they, it's the second time that they've renamed that belt since its inception.
Yeah,
all
by
of
by wrestlers.
What, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, because wasn't Booker T the Legends champion, and then AJ Styles won it, and then the British Invasion they won it, and they renamed it the Global
Championship.
Was it Global then? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they go ahead, they have their act you know, the guy that they brought in, took the belt off of AJ Styles with no fanfare whatsoever. Don't bother trying to build up a pay-per-view, which apparently they must not care about. And I know that sounds snotty. They can't care about pay-per-view buys. There's no possible way they do. And we've even read stuff where they say, well, it's just pay-per-view. We're not worried about it. Okay. I thought that was a stream of revenue you could open up, but whatever. What do I know? So they do all this no fanfare. AJ Styles loses the belt. Then 3 months later, whatever it's been, that's how much I don't care. Rob Van Dam gets stripped of the title, and Eric had something very good in there. The champion should never be stripped of a title. Going to real sports, how long was Lesnar out of commission? In all seriousness.
A year. It was just under a year. When he fought Carwin, it had been just under a year that he'd been out.
And what did they do? In the meantime, they created an interim champion because the real champion was hurt. And what did that do? That drew a huge fucking pay-per-view buy rate. Huge numbers. This isn't, we say this all the time. This stuff is not that hard to book. It's not hard to write. You can deal with egos, and it's very easy. Then you don't get paid. How's that? We don't book you on a show, especially for TNA. Then we don't use you anymore. And you get paid your $50 a house show. So you either cooperate, or you get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, they're, the title stripping just, I can't believe that it was a stripping, because when I see the words vacate, that usually means that the person decided to surrender the title on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even realize that, because I had not really even read the reports, because I just thought that it was just the most ridiculous thing ever anyway.
Yeah. And the jump on that, if Rob Van Dam actually willingly, all right, if they have a vignette where Rob Van Dam's like, you know, I've never been beaten down like this. Yeah, I can't do it, so I have to vacate the title. I'm not watching TNA anymore. Because that's not what his character would do, ever. That's been established. And you know me, it took me about 3 weeks to come back to watching TNA after the last time. But I just, it's impossible to enjoy the show. Even people I like, it's impossible to watch.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, they were just putting over how hardcore everyone just was, including Rob Van Dam. And
mm-hmm.
one little beatdown requires him to, give up the title.
Yeah.
I mean, just on Raw, at least we saw John Cena gut out, a number of matches. He ended up losing the title, basically, the one time, because of Nexus, he loses the title. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, whatever, at least this guy put up a fight, you know, you can't really bust his chops. At least he was, you know, trying to go out there and do his thing without whining about it. Nope, these guys do the exact opposite and just let Rob Van Dam get stripped of the title. After they had ruined, as you pointed out too, I think that's the thing that pisses me off more than anything, is that they're finally getting AJ Styles like completely over as the heel champion, the kind of, no matter how much I disliked it, they were at least going a definite direction with him kind of being Ric Flair too.
Mm-hmm.
But then they went to him being whiny dude, and that was all within that whole thing that you were talking about. Fuck. Why did I just lose my train of thought?
Because you had to sustain a topic for more than 10 seconds.
The fortune. Well, no,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of leads back to the fortune thing. Like, they end up feuding, Kazarian and AJ end up feuding, but then end up on the same page. It's been more enthralling. Like, even though I knew that Edge and Jericho were going to come back to Team Raw at some point,
Yeah.
Like, I, if you didn't see that coming a mile away, you're fucking blind. But at least they made it interesting, and they gave the characters somewhat, they gave them a hard stance. They not only did they no-sell, you know, John Cena, they had Bret Hart pitch them the idea, hoping
uh-huh.
that, you know, maybe the whole Canadian thing would play off a little bit better, something like that. Like, they
yeah.
at least gave you a reason to care about it. Like, there was never any reason to care about any of this stuff.
Nope, there still isn't.
I mean, on
yeah.
top of the fact that they did pick, all they did is get rid of Desmond Wolfe. That was the only
okay.
thing that Fortune did.
Okay, I'll own up. I totally forgot about him. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's easy to forget about someone that's inconsequential. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot that Desmond Wolfe was no longer part of it. God damn. Well, he fucked up. All he had to do was pass the physical for WWE. He could possibly be in Nexus right now. Or at least on SmackDown, getting some exposure.
Or at least on NXT, which is not getting
yeah.
any worse ratings than TNA.
No.
And at
no.
least you would not look like a complete and utter fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. But at least you're on NXT getting, you know, a 1-point rating, maybe a little bit lower or sometimes higher. But you're still broadcast in front of, you know, you're in an arena with 9 to 15,000 people. Instead of the same 100 people that go to the team, the same 100 people or so that go to the Impact Zone every week, or every 2 weeks, excuse me. No, I guess the other thing is TNA right now is absolutely copying everything WWE is doing. When they try to make it seem like they're not, but they are. And I think this whole Fortune thing speaks to that because EV2 shows up. Well, then Fortune had Matt Morgan and Doug Williams helping with the beatdown. So now there's 7 of them, which, if I remember right, is the exact same number that Nexus has. And Ric Flair says that they're taking over and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, really? That was
yes.
all in the spoilers?
Yes. And remember, this is... And this is also coming from the whole effing show. You know, the pay-per-view caliber lineup on free TV, oh, but we have commercials we have to put on. So our matches are all 3 minutes and 46 seconds to 4 minutes long. And that's not an exaggeration. Some of the Motor City Machine Guns match goes about 17 minutes, which is good, as it should, because those are two marketable teams, but whatever. If you have to tell your audience that your TV show has a pay-per-view caliber lineup, you're doing something wrong. It should just be, this is the event we're putting on. It's a special thing with a special Friday show or whatever it is. And we hope you enjoy it. You shouldn't say it's a pay-per-view caliber lineup because then no one's going to watch your pay-per-views after watching your shitty show on Friday. I mean, are you following me on that?
Yeah, no, I completely
okay.
agree with you.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the people that do actually pay for this garbage are still going to pay for this garbage because they don't understand
yeah.
that concept.
Yeah.
And they, for some reason, don't understand that they've seen these matches every time and that they're not going to be all that well wrestled, and it's just going to make me want to throw my phone at the
yeah.
TV.
Well, they've seen these matchups. They've seen the outcome. There are barely any clean finishes now. So, I don't know. And now to see that Roderick Strong actually worked a dark match for TNA, wow. You'd think he would have learned. I mean, he doesn't stand a chance in WWE, so I don't blame him. But, just whatever. I don't care. I mean, I clearly do, but... And the fact that Dixie Carter is now an on-air character annoys me to no end.
Well, and they at least try to keep her... Well, or she tries to keep herself off the TV. But
she's
she
been on TV every fucking week for 2 months. And a pay-per-view.
No, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Mr. McMahon's character, but the bitch is on TV. It's like, you don't know what you're doing in the beginning.
I have skipped over the show on a semi-regular basis. I do appreciate
being able to watch Impact in 30 minutes. So.
Yeah, well, and I guess that is the other thing, is that if I see her in some worthless segment, I just kind of, like, mow through it, because it's like, whatever. I know this segment doesn't mean jack shit because Dixie's in it, so let's keep on moving.
Oh, okay, so that's one of your definitions for a worthless segment. I was like, if you're skipping all the worthless segments, do you watch TNA? So.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, no, I mean, the wrestling is about 30 minutes long, so you've at least got to watch that part.
Yeah.
And I do try to watch most of the promos.
Yeah, I mean, this is a company that's managed to fuck up their highest rated segment in the knockouts. I don't have the energy anymore. How long have we been doing this anyways? Has it been a while?
Yeah, it's been a while. I think we could call it and be done with it.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. Well, all right. So I guess I'll get the plugs out of the way. For the regular visitors, you know of all the audio and special stuff that's been up. If you happen to be new, somehow you've stumbled upon our dumb little site. There's a shitload of content from the last week, audios totaling, God, what, 4 hours worth at least. Retrospective, we even started our own meaningless, you know, Hall of Fame. Meaningless, it is, the guys don't care. But you know, it just kind of gives you the idea of our personalities here, too. So there's a Stunt Granny Hall of Fame audio with Eric and Kevin. I'm sorry, Eric and Dusty. There's the ECW retrospective with Zura, which is his name's David. Dusty and Eric. I don't know why I keep wanting to throw you in there. Those are about, 3 hours worth of show? 4 hours, maybe? There's other audios that are up. There's just a bunch of stuff. So it gets posted over each other, which is part of our problem because we're so talented that we have to get all our stuff up. All right, I'm rambling. So I'm going to say bye, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okie doke. Well, part of my contribution to the shit ton of audios this past week was Pro Wrestling Ohio's annual event here now, Revolution, which Eric helped me out with, at least to help guide me along so that you didn't have to worry about me droning on and on all by myself for like a fucking 2 hours practically straight. So, if you feel like checking that out too, Zura actually is one of the people that actually watches it on satellite, evidently. So I know that he gets it in Missouri, so maybe he'll actually listen to it. So, there's that plug. And then, I don't know, I have had a bunch of beers from my brother who brought in some microbrews from Colorado. So go to the Stunt Granny forum. It's the right-hand tab. It's free. Go ahead, sign in. I'm trying to use it more again since my computer doesn't completely suck anymore. So go ahead, come in there and talk beer with me. So I am going to go crack one of those, and grandkids, have a good night.